I know that old saying, how can you sing standing on the premises, sitting on the premises? I could, a little bit, when I was sitting there. But, yeah, our last session, let me take this opportunity to thank Jamie and by extension all of you for having me and for the family here. And yeah, well worth the trip. Beautiful property. Patty was giving me some of the rundown of the whole history of it, and over 300 acres, she said, and she said it's her dream job being here, and so on. And it's great to hear of the children being reached in the summers, and thank you all for making that effort to come. I know you just didn't do it for me, but I get in the good of it by seeing some of you again and getting to know some of you better. And I know some couldn't make it because of the plague or something that was running through Sudbury. But anyway, you can...
And some came anyway.
What's that?
And some came anyway.
Some came anyway with the plague, so thank you for that. For spreading it throughout the camp. No. And those that weren't here, all of you have, faithfully taken notes, so you can just convey it to them when you get home. No, I understand. That's fine. Although I do see this recording device here, which always makes me nervous. And so, yes, I'm talking to you right there. So we looked at music in Scripture the first time, Saturday morning, and then music in the local church in four main verses. And we saw that we're supposed to sing with the understanding, we're supposed to sing psalms, we're supposed to sing in the Spirit. And then those are three types of songs that were mentioned, psalms and hymns and spiritual songs. And a little bit into what the differences are between hymns and songs, psalms, and then a spiritual song. What is that? Basically, it's any song that we can sing in the Spirit. And it's hard to pin down, but we often know when that happens. Maybe we don't sometimes as a congregation. But just something to chew over. I said that we would look at instances where God sang. So I'd like to do that briefly this morning. And I know lunch is coming, so we won't take you right to the last minute before lunch. But Psalm 68, just to start, please, Psalm 68. As just a launching pad for the four instances that I see. And Alfred Gibbs always had what he called a golden text. He had one text that he sort of sprang from, and then he had his message. I know Alfred Gibbs. I don't know if you know him or knew him because he's in glory now, but we'll do that with this verse, Psalm 68, verse 32. Sing unto God, ye kingdoms of the earth. O sing praises unto the Lord. Selah. That's it. So, kingdoms of the earth, sing praises unto the Lord. So, everything, everybody, sing to God. Now, we know that that we sing as believers. We sang this morning. We've been talking about it. Some of you sing in your vehicles. Some of you sing, through the woods or whatever. Sing in the shower. Sing in church. Sing with other people. Singing is part of who we are, as not just as believers, but individuals. And even nature in places in Scripture is invited to sing, to shout in metaphorically in the way that they can do it. The trees of the field will clap their hands. Obviously, it's metaphorical, but the whole idea of nature and people singing. But did you know that God sings too? We looked at one this morning. That's one of the four. But God sings. Let's look at those four now and see how that affects us. And these aren't meant to be expositional, as in tearing apart each part of it, but just a more devotional thought this morning as we look at these. First of all is Isaiah 5 and verse 1. First seven verses of Isaiah 5. Now will I sing to my well-beloved a song of my beloved, touching his vineyard. My well-beloved hath a vineyard in a very fruitful hill, and he fenced it, and gathered out the stones thereof, and planted it with the choicest vine, and built a tower in the midst of it, and also made a winepress therein. And he looked that it should bring forth grapes, and it brought forth wild grapes. And now, O inhabitants of Jerusalem and men of Judah, judge, I pray you, betwixt me and my vineyard. What could have been done more to my vineyard that I have not done in it? Wherefore, when I looked that it should bring forth grapes, brought it forth wild grapes. And now go to, I will tell you what I will do to my vineyard. I will take away the hedge thereof. It shall be eaten up, and break down the wall thereof, and it shall be trodden down, and I will lay it waste. It shall not be pruned nor digged, but there shall come up briars and thorns. I will also command the clouds that they rain no rain upon it. For the vineyard of the Lord of hosts is the house of Israel, and the men of Judah his pleasant plant. And he looked for judgment, but behold, oppression, for righteousness, but behold, a cry. So perhaps it's a little quizzical as to what the vineyard is or who it is until verse 7, right? It says, for the vineyard of the Lord of hosts is the house of Israel. So God is talking in verse 1, now will I sing to my well-beloved, a song of my beloved, touching his vineyard. He's talking to his servant, and we know by the eye of faith and knowing of the prophecies in the Old Testament coming true with the Lord Jesus, that he is singing to his servant about his people and really disappointed in what they have done. What could I have more been done to my vineyard that I have not done in it? He's really disappointed here. God is disappointed in his people in not being fruitful in the way that they should. So if we apply this to ourselves today, are there times when if God was to sing, he would sing in a disappointing manner of us as individuals? Are there ways that we have grieved him, even the last week or so? Are there things that we should be doing that we're not to show ourselves faithful to him? We know we're saved. We are all on common ground here. The eternal security of the believer, we talk about it. That is never anything we have to worry about. But there are times when we can break our fellowship with the Lord and not have that day-to-day communion with him that we should. Are there things in our lives that we need to take care of? Unconfessed sins. You know, it's like we have a shower or a bath when we're saved, but then we need to wash our hands and confess those sins, as it were, not to be sure of heaven anymore, but to be sure that relationship with our Father is intact. Are we being fruitful? Are we doing what God wants us to? Are we doing the best for our Master, lest we have this song of disappointment like God has? Are there aspects of our presence in the local church, or even our testimony in the workplace, or at school, and those kind of things, where we might sense that? Let's be sensitive to that. This song of disappointment by God. And then the next one is, we looked at this morning, Zephaniah. We did studies in the Minor Prophets not long ago, where we just took one every week, because a lot of people knew about a lot of the Minor Prophets, and so you can cover, and they're quite short. So this is one we took, and it's kind of tough slogging in some of these, because we don't overtly see, well, we don't see the church, and then sometimes it's hard to see how it applies to us, but there are these nuggets and these little rays of hope amid some of the judgments. And we saw this morning, but let's just read a couple of verses of it. Zephaniah 3, verse 14, it starts off with, "Sing, O daughter of Zion," which we read, "Shout, O Israel, be glad and rejoice with all the heart, O daughter of Jerusalem." And let's skip to, well, let's just read it again. "The Lord hath taken away thy judgments. He hath cast out thine enemy. The King of Israel, even the Lord, is in the midst of thee. Thou shalt not see evil any more. In that day it shall be said to Jerusalem, fear thou not, and to Zion let not thine hands be slack. The Lord thy God in the midst of thee is mighty. He will save. He will rejoice over thee with joy. He will rest in his love. He will joy over thee with singing." So this is good news. He will rest, he will joy over thee with singing. He'll sing a song not of disappointment, but of delight. He delights in his people, he delights in you. He loves you, he delights in you. He loves to see people gathering on a weekend, family day weekend at a camp. He loves us, he's right here with us. And and he delights in you as an individual and you as an assembly, as a family, as a group. It's great to know that and to realize that God sings. He delights in his people. He will joy over you with singing. Thirdly is Matthew 26. Matthew 26. And often this verse is used practically as the last thing of a meeting. It doesn't. There's no law that it has to be, but sometimes people point to this as an example. Verse 30, when after they sung a hymn, they went out. So sometimes that's the last thing of a meeting. Someone will give out one, or the speaker will. There's no requirement, but sometimes it's kind of nice if we see that as an example. This is the context of the Lord Jesus after he's had some heavy talks with his disciples, talking about one of them betraying him, and they're all saying, you know, is it me, Lord? Is it me? Is it me? And of course, we know it was Judas. Verse 26 breaks into this. It says, "And as they were eating," Matthew 26:26, "Jesus took bread and blessed it and broke it and gave it to the disciples and said, 'Take, eat, this is my body.' And he took the cup and gave thanks and gave it to them, saying, 'Drink ye all of it. For this is my blood of the New Testament, which is shed for many for the remission of sins. But I say unto you, I will not drink henceforth of this fruit of the vine until that day when I drink it new with you in my Father's kingdom.' And when they had sung an hymn, they went out into the Mount of Olives." So there, when it says they, you might think, oh, that's just the disciples singing. But the Lord was with them. So the Lord sang with them a hymn. I haven't audibly heard the Lord Jesus' voice. I don't think you have. I'm too conservative in my upbringing. The Lord knew I couldn't handle that if I heard him audibly. But I wonder what his voice sounds like. He sang with the disciples. I wonder how that would sound. God Almighty, in the flesh as a man, the Lord Jesus, singing with his people. Amazing. He sung a hymn. They sang a hymn, and then they went out. A song of darkness, though, I would suggest to you, because they all knew to some degree what was happening. He had told them many times. Some of the disciples still didn't get it, sort of like some of us. We don't get it sometimes. God tells us things. But a song of darkness, because the next few verses go into when he was in the Garden of Gethsemane and then onto the cross, where he willingly gave his life. It's interesting when it says that he gave up the ghost and he bowed his head. It's the same phrase as earlier when it says that foxes have holes and the birds of the air have nests, but the Son of Man doesn't have anywhere to lay his head. It's the same phrase. Finally, when he gave up the ghost and bowed his head, he finally found a resting place. He didn't have one when he was here on earth, but when he gave his life for us, when he willingly gave his life, he finally found that resting place. So this is darkness as far as what he had to go through. Yes, he was God, but he was man, and he had to suffer. And that's why we meet regularly around the emblems that we did this morning, to remember that weekly, like they did in the early church. So, song of darkness, song of disappointment, a song of delight, song of darkness, and then Hebrews 2. The last one. By the way, if people are coming to your door smartly dressed and say they have some news about the kingdom to talk to you and they want to talk about Jesus, if you know this book well enough, take them to Hebrews, because they don't like Hebrews. And because it talks so much about the Lord Jesus in his deity. It's just, it breathes it, and they don't like that. They don't believe that Jesus Christ is God. So we want to show them that he is God. Another one is Revelation. they really like Revelation. So take them to Revelation and show them from Revelation how Jesus shows himself as God as well. Hebrews 2, and start at verse 9. But we see Jesus. There's all sort of comparisons of the Lord Jesus with angels and with believers and so on. And here we see, but we see Jesus, who was made a little lower than the angels for the suffering of death, crowned with glory and honor, that he by the grace of God should taste death for every man. For it became him for whom are all things, and by whom are all things, in bringing many sons unto glory, to make the captain of their salvation perfect through sufferings. For both he that sanctifieth and they who are sanctified are all of one, for which cause he is not ashamed to call them brethren. So he calls us brothers. Well, I don't see anywhere where we're supposed to call him brother, but maybe I know he has called us brethren, so it's hard to even say if it wasn't in the book. But verse 12 here, it's saying, I will declare thy name unto my brethren. In the midst of the church will I sing praise unto thee. So he sings praise in the midst of the congregation of the assembly of believers. So a song of directorship, if you will, to keep the alliteration of the D's going. Directorship, he sings praise. He sings. God, the Lord Jesus, sings praise in the midst of the congregation. Not to read too much into these, but when we think of these four times, perhaps they mirror the seasons that we see every day, and then maybe the seasons of life too, when we realize how God sinks. When we think of song of darkness that we were just looking at in Matthew, you know, sometimes the winter nights can be pretty dark, especially up this way. And sometimes there can be a darkness that kind of comes to that. You know, some people have season affective disorder, right? They are affected by the seasons and the lack of light and so on. And sometimes in our lives, not just physically, but metaphorically, there can be those times of darkness, those times of real, depression or solitude, whatever comes into our lives. And let's remember that the Lord Jesus had that as well. He said, Lord, if it be possible, let this cup pass from me. Nevertheless, not as I will, but as you will. We need to know that the Lord Jesus is with us through these times, but to remember that he has gone through everything that we can go through, was tempted like as we are, yet without sin. He has gone there before. So in those times of winter darkness, remember the Lord Jesus sang as well. And then the song of directorship in Hebrews 2. Sometimes spring is seen as new beginnings and kind of getting things in order, you know, spring planting time and cleaning out the garage or starting new exercise regimens and that kind of thing. He said he would sing in the midst of us, and it's sort of like taking charge, and we need to do that with our lives too, to be disciplined in that way, and just like spring, in that way, there are times in our lives when we need that reminder that the Lord is there, and he's saying, okay, let's get going, let's go to the next level here. And then we have the song of delight in Zephaniah that we looked at. Perhaps that's summer, when, not that summer is always terrific, but sometimes it's hard to beat it on a nice summer day, and especially if you have it off work or whatever, just to delight in the sunshine and warm weather, and when things are going well, to remember the Lord delights in us, and just to rest in that he rejoices over us in singing. And then lastly, the autumn or fall, the song of disappointment. Sometimes, you know, the end of summer, Labor Day comes, and, you know, well, leaves are starting to drop off or have. Snow starts to fly, and you know that winter's coming. Sometimes that's the thing, too, that that there's a disappointment sometimes in things, maybe failed goals or failed promises, but to remember the Lord's with us in that way as well, and to realize what we can do and what we can't do, just to surrender to Him. So God sings songs of disappointment, delight, darkness, and directorship in all the seasons of our lives. Since I lugged up this bag with all these books in it, I just want to make a brief reference to them, because they took up space in our trunk, and I wasn't sure if I would have a whole session of sort of looking at some of these resources, but I'm going to bring some of them out and just really briefly show you some resources for music since we were talking about this. I wasn't sure the direction I was going with this, but you know, we talked about hymns and songs and spiritual songs. They do not have to be bound in a book. I know that. We have online resources wherever. We have CCLI, the licensing, that we can get a lot of hymns, a lot of songs, and throw them up on the screen, and that's terrific. Let's not forsake the hymn book, too. I'm going to put a little plug out for that. Some of these people have... They have got together as committees, and they have sorted through not just the last 10 years, 20 years of songs, and saying, hey, that's got a good beat, let's throw that up. But they have dug back and said, what has survived the centuries? What has resonated with people way back in the early 2000s? No, the last century, 1900s, 1800s, 1700s, even some of them, the 5th century, I see some of them. So I'm just going to show you a few resources. Some might be familiar to you, some might not, and some of these are just personal, coming across them. Redemption songs is what I grew up with for the general meetings at the assembly. Anyone ever heard of redemption songs? Yeah. They were read, the user ones were read without music in them. This is just the one with the music in it. Over 1,000 in here. This one has music. And it's divided up into categories, which is very helpful in a hymn book to see what kind of song you want, if you're leading it or if you want for your own devotional. These are great just to go through a couple a day and so on. And when I was doing this, there was a song I was trying to think of from way back in my early days, and I couldn't remember hardly anything of it, but I have not seen it anywhere else except for here. I don't even know if it's in Google. I know, but I just prayed, Lord, could you show me? And it was like that aha moment, and He showed me. And this is it. Maybe you guys know this. It's on the golden streets of heaven, all men hope to walk someday. But so many are not willing to accept the living way. But while others build on good works or opinions, if they may, hallelujah, I'm depending on the blood. You ever heard of that? Yeah, it's very obscure, but terrific truth in this. And I would say it's a hymn, okay? Redemption songs. There's one. You can look at these later if you want. They're going to follow. Okay, and then choice hymns of the faith. When I grew up in northern BC, if you went 40 Sundays to Sunday school, they took attendance. If you went 40 Sundays, then you got your first Bible. 40. If you came 80, you got your own hymn book. I went 40, and I already had a Bible, so they gave me a hymn book, and it's inscribed in here to me, 19. And anyone heard of Choice Hymns of the Faith?
Yeah.
Yeah. Okay. Yeah. It's sort of a staple for ages, for years. It has ones such as "Worth It for Me Alone, the Savior Left His Glorious Throne." Terrific songs, sometimes not found in any other hymn book. There again, indices to find out what kind of songs do we want. If there's a theme or whatever, if you can read parts or even if you can't read parts, but you can sort of tell if it goes up and down, it is helpful to look at music sometimes. And I love when I see things on the screen that also have the music. It's kind of tough sometimes because you can only put a few words up at once. But that's great because then you got the music and the words and the screen and everybody's happy sort of thing. But that's pretty hard to always manage. Anyway, this is Choice Hymns of the Faith. And then I think this is almost a basis for fellowship in a lot of assemblies down in Niagara anyway. You have to have the red book. Not this one, but this one. I was kind of surprised that you had a red book that wasn't Choice. Hymns of Truth and Praise. Just kidding. But Hymns of Truth and Praise. 1977. Whoa, I know. But the thing is, let's remember when sometimes people are saying we got to get some new good stuff and so on, that these people, I know that's a while ago, but I just opened to this one from 1677. Okay, this guy lived from 1823 to 1904. Some of these ones, like Be Thou My Vision, Bernard of Clairvaux, who lived in the 1000s, I think, you know, he did, I believe he did Jesus, Love of, The Joy of Loving Hearts, and so on. They've culled through this. They had a committee, and they said, yeah, this is what we need. They've taken the time to put it in a manageable format, and it's great for resource individually or corporately. It also has some praise choruses in here, too. It's got some great Sunday school songs like B-I-B-L-E and so on. Sometimes we forget about those when we do the praise songs. We forget about these ones that teach kids really, really well, like A, B, C, D, E, F, G, Jesus Died for You and Me. Anyone know that one? Those kind of things. So that's important. And then moving into the 80s, 1986, the hymnal. Familiar with this one? There's Harrison, thank you, my son. Thank you. This one is really interesting. Is that it has a lot of praise choruses throughout it. It also has different kind of instrumental beginnings or alternates to begin or to end. It has a lot of readings, and it has different formats for services. If you wanted to do a Christmas service, there's one sort of format there that you can take and adapt for the congregation. They also have verses, Bible verses that underneath each heading and so on. So this one has it's got a lot of hymns in it, over 500, 600 hymns in it to the hymnal. And that's for me, this is contemporary, but the hymnal. Moving on, there are a lot of hymns that are written today, and Keith and Kristen Getty are a couple of, I would say some of these are hymns. In Christ Alone is in this hymn book here, this song book or whatever, got music and so on in it. There are some great hymns and songs that are being written today that I think will stand the test of time. Going back a little bit, Keith Green, There is a Redeemer, that one seems to have held on. My Tribute, How Can I Say Thanks for the Things That God Has Done for Me. How Deep the Father's Love for Us. And if we had time, this would be interactive too, and you could shout some out, but for sake of time, we'll just ask you to tell me later. But that's one. And it doesn't all have to be in print, right? We can find it online. Casting Crowns has some very, very good, insightful lyrics and good beat, too. And Mercy Me. There's some really, really good songs. I think it's important, I may say this since I'll be gone soon, and just say something before I leave, is I think it's important to realize when something is easy to sing congregationally and when it isn't, and that's something that the song leader needs to think about, because sometimes, because I hear it in my van, and I know every guitar lick and every part where they go ooh and ah and so on, that might not work for Sunday morning. It might, but it might not. And I think if we've heard it different ways, you've heard it from Mercy Me, you've heard it from Castle Crowns, you've heard it from Jamie Martin and so on, we might mimic these guys, especially Jamie, you know. So that might affect it. So it might take a little work. But there's some great ones that really do work as a congregation, and so we have to sift through that, I think. I think that's important. The assembly where I've gone to for the last 15 years, we put together a supplement. So this is 2016. Is that new enough for some of you? So they, well, we, to some degree I was involved, put together some ones, you know, Chris Tomlin and who's that dude? I can't remember some of the names. I just know when I hear it on Christian radio. But who's the guy we're talking about?
Stuart Townend.
And so they've taken some of these guys and taken some of their ones from 80s, 90s, and into 2000 and sort of put some together with the view of maybe using this in a smaller form for people to look at as well as on the screen. It's always, like I say, it's nice to have people doing parts, and I think we sometimes lose that when there's no music written. Right? Having said that, it's nice to have the eyes up and to see everybody. So that's something that people have to go through. So you can look it through this if you want. Those are just some resources of hymns and praise chorus songs books to go through. And just one last group. This is the Believer's Hymn Book. I don't know what you use it at 7 in the morning. But yeah. Hymns, Truth, Praise. Yeah, okay. So Believer's Hymn Book is a staple of assemblies for years, and this was in a, it looks like a Bible almost, and some people treated it like that, but it's very valuable, and for Sunday morning worship, you can't beat a lot of these Christ-honoring tunes. This is one I grew up on, Hymns of Worship and Remembrance, which has the music, not just, the one I showed you has the music, but many of them just have the words in the pews. This one, I think, has always had the music in it. And which is great. It has the headings. It's a lot shorter than the Believer's Hymn Book, which I think is a drawback. So there are a lot more that could be added, but terrific for Sunday morning breaking your bread and occasionally, you know, other meetings as well. And then here are just three. And with this, I close, as they say, three ones that have hymn stories or songs about the writers. You don't have to use these, but this is by Jack Strand, and they take the author, composer of a hymn, and talk about his life or her life, and just the background in writing that particular hymn or song. And sometimes that's great to share on a Sunday or a meeting. Just a little glimpse. You don't want to take 15 minutes of the opening to do that, but a little bit before you sing or give out one. And it adds a little meaning to it, like John Newton, you know, and that kind of thing. That's hymns and the writers. And then Osbeck is the staple guy, the go-to guy. And this is an older one. It's since been republished as 101 Favorite Hymn Stories. It's called Singing with Understanding, like we were talking about. But this section has a whole bunch of hands-on ways of leading, even, right? Like when the hand goes, you know, 4-4 or 3-4, 2-4, just some basic movements that you can adapt. You don't have to do exactly, but just some ideas, some practical suggestions for leading singing, and some things, you know, when to stand, when not to stand, and how to close a meeting, how to open a meeting, how to set the tone, and so on. And then it has different hymns with the hymn stories with it, like the former one I mentioned. And so this is the second volume, 101 More Hymn Stories. There's a hymn and a little bit about when they lived and died, a verse, and then something about it. So very valuable, I think, just to get behind some of the things that we sing and that we experience in music. I think it's important to, in the life of the church, to have a good basis of music and worshiping and praising and teaching through music. And as you can see by the topic I chose for this weekend, it's important. I find it important. I think it. God's on my side in that way. That music is important. If we're going to do it, let's do it. Let's sing with understanding. Sing psalms and sing in the spirit, and just put a smile on God's face when we do it. Let's pray. Our God and Heavenly Father, we're thankful for this weekend, again for a beautiful facility, for this beautiful day, and these brothers and sisters who've gathered together to fellowship, have some fun, and talk over things, perhaps rest and to learn. And we pray that we would remember what we've experienced, what we've learned this weekend. Help us when we hear music to analyze it or to let it flow over us, to praise or to contemplate, to enjoy music the way that you want us to, whether individually or in the family or in the assembly, wherever we can. We pray that we would be in tune with a God who loves to hear the praises of his people. And all the people said,
amen.
Amen. Thanks again for your time.
Chairs and books, move the red books up, and the gray chairs over to the shop for us.
Like a man who knows his prepositions.
That's my spot.
I'm sorry.
I told her.